Listener Production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2... Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to me, Yeti. Hamish.
Ooh, I hope we're insulated cups.
And Eskies. Ahoy to me, Yowie, Jack.
No, okay, we're just mythical names for Bigfoot.
Yeah, and I'm a Sasquatch.
Yeah.
We're
all essentially the same animal, different habitats.
Yeah, they call them cryptids, which is mythical animals.
Yeah.
And, obviously most commonly big known as Bigfoot. But the Yeti in the cold, Yowie in Australia, and the Sasquatch, we tried to find one, Ham.
We did try. We tried our absolute best.
Yes.
With a man that you couldn't pin down.
No, you couldn't pin
him down. Adamant that Bigfoots were out there, and then we left a bunch of apples out for the Bigfoot overnight, camping in the woods in Canada. And Andy and I are like, 1,000%, he's getting up in the middle of the night and taking the apples off the tree.
Yeah.
But he didn't. In the morning, he went and said, look, obviously there's no Bigfoot around, and if it was a hoax, I would have just faked it. So the fact that there's 10 apples still on that tree shows that I'm legit.
Yeah.
So we didn't catch one today, but all my videos and stuff are real.
We set up a little camera to try and catch him on the sneak out.
Spurious argument, but we kind of have to hand it to you. Well done.
Ahoy also to Cody. Yowie country in Australia.
Coming in hot from Yowie town.
Ahoy, boys. Just trying to do this message without any forced gusto. So just going to let it happen naturally.
Good on you.
No, I just drove past a bakery that said world's best bakery. And it made me think, like, at what point would you actually believe them?
Yeah.
For example, like, if you drove past one that said state's best bakery, would you go, nah? How about town's best bakery?
Yeah.
I'd go, oh, yeah, I could see that happening. How about Smith Street's best bakery? Then you definitely believe them, right?
No, good.
But yeah, it just made me think about it all too much. Anyway, boys, hope you have a good time, and I'll speak to you later. Bye.
Well, good on him for not forcing any gusto, because it was quite a low-energy musing. But he's right. When you zoom from the macro to the micro, like at some point in there, you would begin to believe it. There are so many small towns with two bakeries that face each other.
And I would... Town's best bakery.
I would love to see town's best bakery, which is just shots fired. Like, facing over the road, easily the town's best bakery.
Haim, you said you wanted to kick things off today.
Yes, I want to start with... I actually want to start with a small game. And it was inspired by something I saw yesterday as I was walking along. I was walking along the street past one of those tax return shops.
Okay.
There are a bunch, you know, you see a bunch of them around and, you know. Mm. This one had the slogan that said out the front, it said, we have the best tax ideas. And I went, I said, now there's a shop we could get around. Because you think they're laws, but really they're just ideas, are they? And everyone's just trying out their own ideas.
Yes.
And it occurred to me that no one's got better tax ideas.
Christopher Skates did try some ideas.
You just have some ideas and you have a go for deductions. And look, you know, without wanting to get anyone too much hot soup, there's one man I know that has the best tax ideas, and I would say that's Jack. He has often some creative tax ideas, but closely followed by, I'd say you have some good tax ideas from time to time.
I've got some good tax ideas. One time, and I don't know why I still think of this, but one time when I first started working with you guys, you said, don't worry about your tax return, they'll never audit you.
No, Andy said that. He said that to the group. And I've since passed that on a few times. And then I've been told, we will worry about it.
For some reason, I think of that as like, because my accountant keeps sending me this thing. It's like, do you want to get audit protect so that if they audit you, I go, no,
got it from Andy.
I'm not being audited.
Well, I won't name who it was, but it was in my hockey team.
Oh.
One of the auditors from the government.
Yeah, he's not going to do it, but someone else
job,
might.
Yeah. But he was management.
Yeah. And so he said, oh, your profile.
And I was asking him about tax ideas. and he, it was him that said,
don't worry about it back in the day. But that times were very different when I gave you that information. That was
as you're being
university.
As Jack's being perp walked out of Gold 104 like Sam Bankman-Fried, I don't think he'll be able to be screaming, but Andy said, someone call Andy. There's been a huge mistake.
I'd like to make it very clear that my days of the tax ideas have changed dramatically since just leaving university.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We've all got
harder these days.
You have the best tax ideas. But also, the other thing that these places love to advertise is very fast, very, very fast tax returns. Like, you'll have it very soon. So I want to combine those two ideas, okay? I want to combine the two concepts here in a small game. Now, we can, like, pause the record and play some music while this happens. Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to give you a profession, okay? You guys are now working for this tax company.
Okay.
But post-Lee tax ideas.
Yep.
I'm going to give you a profession. You've got 30 seconds to email me as many deductions as you can for that profession.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
And then we're going to do three rounds of this, and then I'm going to get an actual tax person up to see if these are legit deductions.
Okay, so what's the
An actual accountant.
Do we have to give reasons in the email, or we can just
justify them
later?
Just literally fire them through, fire them through to me, and I might just quiz you on why this.
And are we doing the same profession?
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Okay.
So round one, many deductions as you can think of, 30 seconds, just email them just literally what they are, like this is the item. Painter, go. Time is up.
Okay.
Send them through and I'll just I'll have a quick look.
I feel like I've had some of the best ideas.
I've had some good ideas as well.
Okay, you've submitted painter. Next round, bus driver.
Oh, okay.
Go. Time's up. How are we going with bus driver?
Bus driver, yes.
Harder.
Sending mine through to you now.
Good stuff. Well done.
We do love to have good ideas at this tax house, but that was a tough one.
Well, you've got to do it this fast if you want to get those returns in fast. If you want the return by tomorrow, you've got to get that email out today. Okay, last round. Chef. Time is up.
Yeah.
Chef deductions are in.
Yeah.
Jack, you don't seem...
There's this a point where mine go from, like, what is very obviously a deduction for that profession to creative licensing.
Well, that's where the best ideas come from. That's where the best ideas...
Blue sky thinking.
I mean, everyone can say knives for a chef, but let's see what else you got. Okay, I just had a quick peek. But let's do this properly. We now have an official tax accountant that's willing to join us on the phone. What I'm going to do is run through each round and just see. All I want is like a yes, no, a maybe. You get a point for every yes. We'll see which of you guys is the best creative accountant at your firm. Do we have John, our accountant?
Yes, you do.
John,
thanks,
ahoy.
John. Ahoy to you.
And gusto to you, and thank you for joining us, John.
No problem.
John, what I've done here is a small simulation, a pressure test on Andy and Jack. They each had 30 seconds to write down as many tax deductions as they could for certain professions. There's going to be three rounds. What I'd like to do is run through each of their deductions with you, and you say yes, no, or maybe to whether or not those would be allowed deductions for that profession. And I think the simplest way to score this is to give the person with the most yeses the win for that round. Does that make sense, John?
Oh, so it's not media producers and presenters. It's just any profession.
No,
professions.
Yeah. And Andy's already...
I should declare, John, that I did get the prize for accounting in year 12, so I have got a slight advantage over Jack heading into this battle.
I'd be so surprised if the VCE accounting exam was what deductions would you put for a painter?
All right.
Yes, no, maybe, if this could be claimed. So... we've got Jack up first with his deductions for painters. Okay, let's go through them. John, deduction number one, laptop.
Yes.
Good one.
Number two, paint.
Yes.
Number three, car expenses.
Yes.
Right.
Number four, overalls.
Yes.
Shoes.
As long as it's protective, yes.
Yeah, that's what. Is that what you meant,
Jack? They were.
Oh, number six, fuel. Microwave. Why, maybe. Jack?
I've seen painters who brought.
He might take his microwave to do his lunch.
He does. He brings a microwave and a kettle with him. It's the item.
Well, that's number item. Seven as well. So microwave and kettle.
And he might heat his paint up.
Yeah.
So is that a yes, yes? Two yeses? Microwave and kettle? Yes. Okay. Ladder.
Yes.
And the final item that Jack came up with was holiday to a colourful city.
Definitely no.
That was research based.
Unless it could be a conference. So yeah, maybe they might have a painting conference in Vegas or something. So you know that might work.
It seemed like you were just going to try and claim that it was for color research, Jack.
Yes.
Well, we always try and get.
Okay, I'm going to give. Okay, that's eight. We'll go with that's eight. Yeah, that's all right, Ando.
Well done.
Andy had paint.
Yep. You know that's it.
Yeah, that's in brushes.
Yep.
Good one.
Airbnb stays.
If he was traveling for work and staying Airbnb, so maybe.
Yeah. Yep. Doing some painting on the holiday.
Yes.
Okay.
No, not on holiday.
No, sorry, doing some painting interstate.
Interstate, yeah. Interstate painting.
Okay. Yeah. Overalls was the next one. We know that's a yes. All shoes, so not just
produce. Did you actually write all?
Andy's gone for all shoes. Yeah. All shoes. Every shoe he buys.
No.
Okay.
No.
Why not? Why all shoes, Andy?
Well, because it's nice to paint a different style of shoes. And also, when I go to show people, like, through the house I've just painted, I like to wear a nicer shoe at the end.
That's true. You don't want the one that's got paint all over them.
Actually,
that's a reasonable.
Oh, it's in. And he's got it on an argue.
Reasonableness passes the ATO.
Yeah,
and I'm nervous about the last one, but Andy's written two overseas trips.
Well, they may have a conference, as I said. So you know,
I just was more interested in the kind of in Croatia what painting techniques they might be using.
It might be very historic and very, you know,
they use the same brushes.
Something to learn.
Yeah, something to learn.
They have these conferences, you know, that passes the pub test.
Yeah, okay.
You keep saying conference, though. Neither of us did say that it was an overseas conference.
Jack, I love Jack yelling out when Andy said Croatia. Jack just was like, yes, yes, let's go, baby.
I think right, Jack even got us.
Yeah, that was 8-7, even with the comments. All right, let's quickly move on to bus driver.
Mm.
Okay, bus driver. Jack said uniform.
Yes.
Yes. Boots.
Yes.
Yep.
Sunglasses.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yes.
Yep. Money wallet.
Well,
I was picturing maybe. People giving him coins, but...
A little money wallet. Oh, yeah, like a little bum bag thing.
Yeah. Like one you strap to yourself when you travel overseas.
No. Yeah, sure. I mean, it's not going to be the biggest tax return.
I haven't paid for a while on the bus. I suppose that'd be...
I wouldn't be licking the lips too much as the tax return came back with the bum bag. The bum bag receipt, but yes, that's a point. Jack, lunch.
No.
No?
No, mate.
No.
The reason I thought he might be able to claim his lunch is because he could be anywhere in the city on a bus route and have to go somewhere that he's not familiar with.
It's private in nature.
It is.
Private in nature, Jack. Do you claim your lunch, Jack?
No, but if I had to, say, be in a completely different part of town, I might go.
What, you'll claim that lunch?
Wouldn't you just do that then anyway?
It's another day in a row. I'm in another part of town.
Under the confusion laws. Where am I? I needed to eat for my job. Okay, no, Jack. And then, Jack, you finished with communication classes. What's that?
Sounds boring.
I thought, because the bus driver talks to people as they're coming on and off, so maybe you could go to... I don't really know what a communication class is.
Sounds like a conference to me.
It was overseas, yes.
Okay, so we've got.
I think you're pushing it there.
Yeah okay, yeah, only four there. Okay, Ando, your bus driver. Yeah. Andy's coming here. Andy starts with two overseas trips.
Just be nice to see what kind of buses they have in London.
They have we're involved in a bus business, and I do have a lot of overseas bus conferences.
Yes, okay. There we go. Two overseas trips, rando.
Well done.
The drivers don't normally go, though.
Well, this one does.
They might now. bus fares. So, like, on other buses.
Yeah, just to check out the competition.
Yeah, there'll be an excess there.
That's an excess. Shirts. Shirts. All shirts or just bus shirts?
Well, again, have to be uniform, I think.
Shoes?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep, that's
well, it. Well, protective again. Yeah.
Andy's got three lunches. Just three.
Nah.
That was just... This was... This was to take management out.
No.
Oh, I thought you were allowed to do some
management. No, management meetings. Should take him out.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, that's we'd a like no. Okay, this is hats. All hats, Sando?
Yeah.
Had it come in, yeah, because it's protecting.
Okay. Oh, it's tight. He only needs one more here. Sunglasses.
Yes.
Yes.
He's got it. Well, sunglasses gives him 5-4 and driving course. Again, both of you included in course. That would be like a communication.
Advanced driving course.
Advanced would probably be yes.
Yeah.
Is it a bus driving course or is it a car course?
It's not stipulated.
No, because if it was preliminary driving, then it'd be no.
Yeah, but no, advanced driving course.
But Ando, was it car or bus?
I can't remember.
He's got to done a stunt driving course for fun. Anyway, but that's good. That's kind of creative. Things are after. All right, this is for the win then. Who can claim the most for chef?
For chef, yeah.
Andy would like to claim 25 dinners.
Yes.
Well done.
All cutlery, crockery and utensils, which is sort of a three-pointer.
Well, yes.
35 lunches.
Well, if he's sampling the competition, there's probably an argument you could.
Yeah, thank you.
He reins it in on dinners, but he goes wild with 35 lunches. Mm. All groceries, like weekly groceries.
Mm.
No.
But what? How am I going to develop the next great meal?
Because the business buys the food, not the... And then you have goods for own use if you own the restaurant.
What if he goes to a conference at Coles this week? Then Andy's got 5 overseas trips now. Cranking it up.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, just got to see what's happening in the food landscape around the world.
A computer.
Yes.
And hats.
Yeah, hats, yes.
All hats. Chef's hats, Andy.
Okay, sorry.
Andy's got 8. Here we go, Jack. Can you beat 8? You've got quite a few here. Mm. Jack, with all food?
No.
Same reasoning as groceries. Yeah. I thought they could practice at home.
Jack, eating at any restaurant?
Yeah, he'll pass that.
Yep. Tattoos?
Oh, that's interesting.
Obviously based off the bear.
No.
Bad luck, Jack. Hat, I assume you mean chef's hat there,
yep.
Jack?
Yes.
Yep. The DVD of the hit film Ratatouille?
Interesting.
No.
Oh, it's instructional. It is instructional. It's about cooking.
Yeah, actually, they qualify for educational, yes.
DVD. Holiday to country known for cuisines?
Yes. Conference again.
Conference.
Yep. And holiday to the Spice Islands. Holiday to the Spice Islands.
The where?
Spice
Islands. Spice Islands, which I don't think have been... I think in the 1600s there was the Spice Islands, but now we can obviously get spices at the shops.
I think once you tick holiday on your visa, you're going to be in trouble.
Quest to the Spice Islands.
Now we are in the 1600s.
$10,000 pouch of cinnamon coming up.
How is this different from the overseas trips? It's Ando, three-pack.
Ando, you've smashed that. 8 well plays done, 4 Ando. In the final round. Yes. The accounting prize holds.
Yes.
Jack, a couple of wobbles there and a few sweats under the collar too for Jack, using some of his preferred deductions in his own life.
But also a great learning, I think, that we've got to do more overseas conferences.
We do.
Got to get more of that in our life.
That's really the message out. You need to. Like, let's absolutely. Isn't there a podcasting conference in Queenstown in New Zealand in the sort of around September?
Yeah.
I think so.
We just got told by Johnny there is one.
Thanks, mate.
Jack, you better be careful.
Yeah.
The ATL will be right on you.
After listening to this worried. Or just in general?
After listening to this, the alarm bells will be going off.
John, thank you, mate. Really appreciate
all
it.
All the good fun, right, Jack?
John, one last question about the ATO. It would be essentially randomised who they pick, wouldn't it? It wouldn't be like someone listening to the podcast and then deciding to follow things up further.
Well, it's a good question because that's actually against the Constitution. Yeah, they can't actually victimise you for that.
Brilliant.
It has to be randomly picked, yeah.
Brilliant. Because then if they do now, I can go, well, is it because you heard the podcast?
That's unconstitutional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jack, you've got them on the constitutional law. Yeah. This is like the castle all over again. All right. Well done.
Thank you, John. Thanks, John.
Great fun.
Guys, have a good day. Cheers.
And well done to you, Ando.
For people who don't know, does very popular, the number one breakfast show in Melbourne.
He sure does.
With a fellow called Christian O'Connell. Question comes from me, Jack. Do you not want them to know that we exist?
No, I'm proud of working on the show.
I don't think you are. I like.
do you feel like you have to keep the two families apart?
Well, the radio station in particular, because this podcast is run by one radio station and we're a different radio network. They don't like the mixing of it so much.
Right, because it feels at times like you went away on a holiday and had illegitimate children with us, and you visit us from time to time, but you don't want your regular wife, Christian, knowing about
Oh, I'm very proud of this family.
When
we see you every second weekend.
Yeah, but...
Why do we always have to meet you in a car park?
The thing is, the reason I say that is because obviously we've got a number of running jokes in the show and we've got a number of nicknames that we've got for each other. And number six is a prominent one for you.
Yep.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
I think somebody called up the radio show and referred to me as number six.
No.
Okay.
I thought there was the perfect time for you to self-report. Because there's never been a clearer segment about a number and what it means to someone. It was the weirdest record.
Oh, my God. Yes, now I know what you're saying.
This is how it went down.
So 6 years ago today, June the 4th, 2018, me, Jack and Bass began a radio show together. Today, we want to know, what does the number six mean to you on our show anniversary, our show day? Jackie boy, the number six, why is it significant to you?
You wouldn't know this, but while I was working on Hamish and Andy on my very early days at Fox FM, I was also given the opportunity to try out as a music DJ. And the show I was on was called Six on the Beach, where I had to pretend I had to pretend I was on a different beach of Melbourne each night, bringing you the six hottest songs.
So many significant beaches of Melbourne.
Bringing you the six hottest songs. And I only lasted 2 weeks.
Aww.
Wow. And we know your acting is powerful. It's probably too... People, it's probably too believable.
The perfect opportunity.
When else would you ever get on a radio show? What does the number six mean to you? And you drag your mind back to 2014 or whenever Six on the Beach was.
Yeah. And then he says, because I was like, oh, my gosh.
Here we go.
Because he says, well, I'll work with Hamish now. Like, oh, my gosh, we've been mentioned. Well,
finally, he's happy mentioning us in front of his new wife.
But I did mention you, so I don't get too distraught about it.
No, but you actually mentioned us. You said back when I worked with Hamish and Andy.
Yeah.
So it was.
That's true. It's obviously sound like I don't work here anymore.
You like to please Christian by telling him that's all in the past, man. And I... It doesn't mean anything to me anymore. I did work with those guys. I now work with you. I hobby with them. I might be caught hobbying with them from time to time, but not in a work capacity.
It honestly didn't cross my mind.
That's even worse.
Well,
that's even worse. You're number six on the show.
Yeah, but I don't. I don't want to be
Hamish's birthday
six,
last week. It honestly didn't cross my mind. Oh, Dad. Anyway, thank you, bud.
Well, I love being
here.
I love you guys.
Haim, earlier today we took on a special skill.
We did, Ando.
His name was Kirk, and 24-year-old, good at tools.
Good at tools. He claimed, okay, I can eyeball any screw and know which hex key or Allen key goes into it. Also, can tell just by looking at it the exact length within 5 mils of a piece of wood or metal. We went, all right, that's got our attention. Come on in here. We set something up in the boardroom here. This is what happened.
When he looks at some wood, a measurement he sees.
The width of some metal, Kirk will pick it with ease.
If there's a screw with a hexagon, he wants you to show it, show it, show it, show it. What hex key? Yeah, he knows it.
Which?
Sorry, yeah. Which hex key? Yeah, he knows it.
That's better.
Kirk?
That's where you say hello.
I mean, I know we're in the boardroom. Listening at home, you just nodded to us.
We're in the boardroom and it's like, it's very serious, isn't it?
We thought we'd make it a boardroom environment. I imagine when there's all this tool chat, you don't see too many boardrooms, do you?
Never.
No. That's where we want to put extra pressure on you.
No. Yes. I mean, you imagine at the top of Sidchrome or one of those, there would be a boardroom somewhere, but, you know, for guys like you and me, we're not interested in that stuff.
We're a lot below that.
We're the boys in the warehouse. Now, you are a tool maker by trade.
Yep.
Best tool you've ever made?
There's too many to even name.
Really? Oh, cool. Yeah. Would it be tools we know, like your classics, or are they specialised tools?
Specialised sort of tools.
Give us an example of a specialised tool you think I wouldn't know.
Yeah. Injection moulding die.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we know about that.
Yeah. But you make the die.
Yep.
It's not really a tool, is it?
Is it?
Well, we call it a tool, yeah.
It's a paint.
you mean die as in die cast?
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, we thought you were painting the colours.
Now, in that little interaction there, who was more in touch with the common tool worker? Me for knowing die cast? Probably.
Well, you got there eventually.
Yeah, but he thought you were still talking about paint.
I've got to say the superior penis.
You're a man that recognises tools and length. So you make injection moulding stuff, die cast.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So this is why, because your skill has come to us as a quick refresher for people listening, but we would have already mentioned this. Your skill is being able to eyeball not just a bolt with a hex key ending on it, and knowing exactly what mil hex key you need.
What's the difference between a hex key and an Allen key?
Yeah, we were wondering this.
I think it's the same thing.
It is the same thing.
Unless you're Australian or American.
Or does the Allen have to have the bend in it like you get in an IKEA thing? Because you can get other hex keys, you know, that are just a long hex key with a torque key to drop another.
You don't know, do you?
I do know a torque key, 5 Newton meter torque key. Very useful tool. But we're not here for two blokes that know tools to talk about tools. We're here to include Andy as well.
One who knows it and one that rides occasionally.
But the reason we're here, because you can not only eyeball what hex key you'll need, but also you said any length of steel or wood, you can look at it and go, I can tell you how long that is to the nearest 5 mil. Yep. That is also the bit that very much impressed us.
So what we're going to do is it's 3 rounds. Piece of metal, piece of wood, and a screw.
Okay.
I think we start with the screw.
Okay.
Then we go to the wood round. And then if you're still in, and we will need you to be at least one from two at that stage, we go to the metal round.
I'm presenting you with a platter of hex keys / Allen keys. Generally not presented like this ever. I'll hand you the screw. Check out that hexagon.
What diameter hexagon key fits in the end snugly of that screw?
Kirk is picking up an Allen key from the right. He's about to check whether it fits. It's too big, isn't it?
I wondered why you went that one. Surely it's that one next to it. Because I even know that's probably a 6 mil, and that looks like a 5 to me.
Which means you're going to have to get 2 from 2 on the measuring side of things.
Now, before we go to the second and third round, which I have lower hopes for, a couple of things I want to clarify here. Why did you pick such a fat one? Were you excited to just get into the game, or?
Well, I don't usually have them laid out like that.
Yeah.
I've so you usually got them all in a, yeah.
Did you know that it needed a 5 mil looking at that?
Yeah.
And you just simply picked up the wrong key?
Yes, exactly.
I'll allow that.
All right. Now.
Suppose we can't give out coins for people that can come in and nearly pick up the right Allen key. Okay.
Here we go. We're sliding a piece of metal onto the desk in front of you. I'd say it's bigger than a ruler, just so people at home can visualise it.
Well, I mean, a 30-centimetre ruler.
Yeah, it says a 30-centimetre ruler.
Get some biggies.
What we'd like you to do in boardroom style is to write down your answer on a piece of paper and slide it back
in
to
mil.
Us.
Now, you can pick it up, examine it, feel around it, get a feel for it.
gee, he looks good, doesn't he? And this is probably his preferred discipline.
Now
I
feel like I'm watching a master in his tool shop. Yep. Oh, he's moving his hands in and out to indicate different lengths.
All right, I think I have my guess.
Okay, he's writing down his offer, of which he'll slide to us.
Can I, before we have a look at the offer, yeah, please slide it across. What type of metal is this?
Aluminium.
Yeah.
Great. Well done.
Does that count as a coin?
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. And what shape is it in?
Hexagon?
No, that's a square. That's a square. I just double checked. Yeah, it's definitely just a square bit of metal.
Okay.
You've
slid across your guess.
500 mil, you said, and you're allowed 5 millimetres of error.
We cannot accept this offer. That square piece of aluminium is, in fact, 454 mil, off by 46 mil.
Yeah. Which is quite a bit.
That's a whopping.
I thought it was 50 mil each side, no?
No, because that's quite a generous game.
5 centimetres.
Kirk, do you work in tools? Be honest. Did you just want to come in? Did you just want to see what a podcasting boardroom looks like?
Yeah.
Are you familiar with measurements and numbers? Have you ever used them before?
Yes.
Okay. Once or twice.
And shapes.
Yes. That I'm not so sure.
Okay.
I mean,
he's got one. He could be the Simpsons guy.
No. Day gone absolutely awry. You will need to do something phenomenal with the bit of wood behind us to save any honour here.
Placing in a piece of wood that is bigger than the 454.
Just try and zone back in on what your actual skill, what it's like on the floor. The shop.
When you're impressing your other work colleagues, I would say, Ham, if he's another 50 mil off, it's Simpsons guy territory, isn't it?
Yeah.
I
don't think even getting it exact now could get you a coin, and I'm usually pretty lenient.
Nah, surely bang on gets a coin.
No.
That's what I would have thought.
You've called a square X. Okay.
Talk us through your process. Describe the piece of wood in front of you for those listening at home.
It'd be a mess at the moment up there, wouldn't it? Like your tool shed, probably. Just like not knowing where to put what at the moment. Is that true, Kurt?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're feeling a bit like that.
Talk us through it.
It's a rectangle.
Yeah.
Good.
It's a bit bigger than the last one, that's for sure.
Here we go.
I'll write it down.
Yes, please. Yes, this is the exciting part. Kirk is now writing.
Bang on for a coin.
Another offer. Sure.
It's
like bearing copper.
Sure. You have Andy's car if you get it back on.
Okay.
Please get it back on.
He is sliding it across. Hamish and I are looking at the offer. You know what?
It's a decent offer.
You've said 769 mils. That piece of wood in front of you is 790 mils.
Oh, close enough.
Well, no.
we were looking for bang on. You've landed within an honourable gap.
Yeah, an honourable gap, absolutely.
I mean, that's, you know, 2.1. You're not the tool-based Simpsons guy. You are not walking out of here with a coin or a car.
What I'm going to give you an opportunity to do, though, is you can either choose to plug your business, knowing that people may be wary of when they send you dimensions, or you can choose to not plug your business, knowing that people may be wary of sending dimensions to you and you following them.
No, I won't plug it. This hasn't been a good representation of our skills.
Thank you. According to some data, we are Australia's most listened to podcast, and I love to see someone go, no, we will keep that quiet.
You're a legend, Kirk. One of my favourites. Okay. We'll give you a token.
Token of Dover, definitely for sure. Yep. Privately, I'd like to get the name of your business because I will be using you for all my injection moulding.
And we'll show you that token. It's a circle.
Yeah. It's sort of a very smooth hexagon.
I could guess the diameter of it.
No, you
could.
No, you can't. I know we've put this to bed for 6 months and then we're coming back to it.
Oh, no, don't get out of bed. It's asleep.
But there is an update. I need dollar, that's what I need. Hey, hey. The CEO of the Royal Australian Mint,
in charge
of all coins,
this is
Lee Gordon, is doing a presser, and he's been asked specifically a question about our show by the waiting press.
Right. What?
When I say waiting press, I think it was one person there, and this person didn't seem like
this is great.
A huge presser. So I've got the interview answer here from Lee. I've broken it up into sections. I feel like we can dissect how Lee and obviously he's the CEO, so how the whole Royal Australian Mint is feeling as a company about our quest. This is the opening question from the interviewer.
Hamish and Andy have been pushing really, really hard to get their podcast commemorated on a coin. Is that something you can explore?
Look, we certainly have some guidelines that we go through to make the decisions about what coins, what organisations, events and anniversaries we do reflect on our coins.
Okay.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Not, okay.
Ice Movo ended up on one, so let's be serious about how serious those meetings
are. Those guidelines seem pretty wide, to be honest.
He also sounded nervous.
Yeah, I don't love what I heard, to be honest. I would have loved dream scenario was him going, yeah, look, you know, no spoilers, but I think the boys will be pretty happy come November. that would have been the dream scenario.
Yeah.
What I would have liked to hear more in the realms of possibility would have been him to have a chuckle at the start. I would have liked to hear a, oh, yes, well, you know, that's great fun and we're looking into that. Mm. Like some level of enjoyment. What it sounded like was a complete straight bat.
Agreed. And his answer continued. I've just broken it up so we can discuss it in between, but his answer continued.
It would be highly unlikely for us to have individuals like Hamish and Andy on a coin. I guess we have suggested to them that perhaps if they were to die, they might have a better chance of getting on a coin. That's not something I believe they're contemplating just at the moment.
Don't tell us what we're contemplating.
We'll have you know nothing's off the table. We have suggested to them maybe they die. I mean,
again, that's
a death threat.
Yeah.
What is a death threat if not a suggestion that perhaps you might like to die? I think that they gave us that outline where they said, look, this is the usual method is posthumously people appear. But again, we have to stress we're not, I know it's the words Hamish and Andy, but it's about the show. It just happens to have the same name as us. We see that as a mere coincidence. This is not about us as people being on there. It's the people's show being commemorated.
And that's what I was offended by. It's like when he's suggesting Hamish and Andy want to be on the coin. No, no, no. The show, the people's show wants to be on a coin. And thank you to the interviewer who said the Hamish and Andy podcast on
I
a
loved
coin.
That. That's great journalism.
It continued.
We do certainly recognise that the items that go on Australian coins need to be of some significance. And we actually have a team at the Mint that are poring over almanacs and looking for anniversaries and events and organisations that we can commemorate. But we also do take suggestions from the Australian public. And certainly if people out there have an idea for a particular coin, I'd encourage them to get in touch with the Mint.
Oh boy. Did I just see a Trojan horse shaped door open in the side of the Mint?
You've gone
encouraged people to get in touch with the Mint, do you? I wonder what email address that would be at.
For general inquiries, which I assume this falls under.
Yes.
The address is hello@ramint.gov.au.
One more time.
hello@ramint.gov.au.
That's what I thought you said. And I think a simple heading along the lines of the will of the people or this is what the people want or hey, commemorative. Change it up because I think if they all and stagger it too.
Yeah, stagger it.
Why not send one now and then encourage a friend to send one tomorrow so we get a kind of a nice bell curve? Because we've been on the receiving end of email floods and you do kind of smell a rat. Often in radio days,
Space it out. Record labels, 3 or 4 days.
Record labels would think.
Don't forget about it.
So do send one now, but then from a different address, send one tomorrow or in 3 days' time. Because remember when record labels would get you, would email in going, you know, like if there's a new, like, artist called whatever, like, you know, Slash Jiggins or something, you'd be like, they'd be like, man, just love to request that Slash Jiggins song. Like, we love it. Me and all my friends love it. And after receiving no emails about music, suddenly you'd have 15 in an afternoon.
Exactly. And you've never heard of Slash Gibbons or Giggins or whatever his name was. Yeah. Jiggins, I think it was. Yeah. And then to have be overwhelmed with them for you're just like, a 24-hour period.
Seems like a blip. Seems like a blip. So let's not blip it at the Mint. Let's get a nice, steady stream of these going in. And I think we're doing, they said they've got a team poring over almanacs. That sounds like a pain in the ass. That sounds like a massive pain in the ass. If I was, I'd like, you know, I'd be like, hey, team, great news. You don't, you like, we've done half your year's work. This is what we want. We'd love a Hamish and Andy podcast coin. It commemorates the future because it's about podcasting. It commemorates the fact that these people champion dollar coins, the very medium they're being honored on. I mean, it's an absolute slam dunk.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.